Today, on The Journey.
God will protect those who know Him from continuing sin. God will protect those who know Him from Satan. And then finally, God will protect those who know Him from false teaching.
What do you know? Are you confident in your walk with Jesus or uncertain where you stand with Him? Your answer to those questions will indicate the condition of your faith. Today, Ron Moore shares encouraging instruction so you can confidently proclaim, "I know that I know." Also, to help stoke your spiritual fire, we want to send you a copy of Ron's uplifting book called Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more details later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Affirmation on the Journey.
We have been studying 1 John. And John all along has been talking to us about what it means to have true communion and what it means to really be following hard after Jesus. He is writing from Ephesus, and he writes this letter for 5 reasons. First, he writes to encourage Christian belonging. Being involved in community is critical if we're going to grow in our Christian walk. To help believers experience true joy, to help believers avoid falling into patterns of sin. We're all going to sin, but John says if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To guard believers against false teaching, that's been a major theme in John's book. There was a lot of false teaching going on in that day, as there is in our day, and we got to know the truth so we can distinguish truth from error. And then to allow believers to know with certainty that they are children of God and will be children of God forever. Today we are going to look at the last part of the book, chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13 and look at 13 through 21. We're going to see 2 things today. We're going to see this aspect of prayer, and John's going to tell us that we sinful human beings saved by grace can have this dynamic conversation with the living God. And John's going to tell us how to do that today. Secondly, John's going to tell us about protection. As a believer, we live in the world, but we are protected from the world by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. John wants to drill those 2 points home as he closes his book. First, John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you can know you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Let's think about that. Let's start with chapter 5, verse 14. There are these prerequisites we have to prayer. John has said that we have this confidence. We have assurance. We can take this to the bank. We never have to doubt this, that when we talk to God, He hears us. Here's the first prerequisite of prayer, that we are a child of God. God hears the voice of His children. That's the first prerequisite of our confidence, that He hears us if we are His child. So the first question is, have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone as the only way to have a relationship with the living God? And you know that with certainty. The first prerequisite of God hearing our prayer is that we are His child. The second prerequisite is this. Here's the confidence we have toward Him, that He hears us, but here's the kicker. If we ask anything according to His will. Now, I got to confess, I like to pray according to my will. Anybody else in that boat? I like to say, God, here's what I want, and here's my timing, by the way, and I need you to get it done. And if you don't do it, I'm going to be pretty disappointed in you. Because after all, you're my Father, and I know what's best for my life. One commentator, John Stott, says this prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or bending his will with ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating or surrendering our will to his. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. Every true prayer is a variation of the theme, your will be done. So praying according to God's will. It's a challenge, isn't it? Because our will gets in the way. So remember, we have confidence that he hears us with the condition that we're praying according to his will. We want that confidence. I do, don't you? So how can we know we're praying according to God's will? Four things. Here's the first one. If we are praying, what is in accordance with God's written word? So we know if it's in Scripture, we call it his revealed will. Some people call it his general will. And we're praying in accordance with what's in Scripture, then we know we have confidence that he hears us. This is his will. He spells it out. So I don't have to go to God and say, God, I'm thinking about murdering someone. Should I do that or not? He's going to say, it's right in my word. You don't kill other people. You don't have to ask me that. You don't have to go away and fast about that. It's right there. And so when we pray according to God's will, we're always praying according to God's word. Now, that means we're reading it. And we're reflecting on it. And we're studying it. And we know what his revealed will is. Because when we pray according to his revealed will, we can always pray with confidence that he hears us. And by the way, the hear means he just doesn't hear us audibly. He responds. He answers. He's doing what we're asking him to do because it's according to his will. He's responding to us. So the first thing is we got to be praying according to God's revealed will. The second part of praying according to God's will is we pray that we would be obedient. I don't know about you, but when temptation comes, it wouldn't be called temptation if it's not tempting, right? If God says do it, sometimes I don't want to do it. If God says don't do it, sometimes I want to do it. And there it is, that temptation staring me right in the face. Now, I know it is God's will that I don't do that or do it. So when I pray, God, here I am. I'm at a crossroads again. I need your strength. You said in your word that your Holy Spirit lives in me and you'll give me everything I need to do what you call me to do. And right now, I don't want to do what you're calling me to do. I don't feel like it. So I need to be obedient. I need to do what you're calling me to do. And when we pray that prayer, God will always answer us because we're praying according to his will. Now, let me give you two other things. So first, how do we know we're praying according to God's will? Well, we're looking at his revealed will, black and white. We're praying for obedience to that. We know that's his will. But then there are things in life that aren't just specifically laid out in Scripture. So how do you know you're praying according to God's specific will? Well, two things. One, we are asking that God, through his Holy Spirit, reveals his specific will. We're asking as a believer, we're a child of God, his Spirit lives within us. We're asking that as we read his word, as we desire to obey his word, his Spirit testifies with us, this is the way I want you to go. And sometimes you just know that you know that you know. God confirms that in your heart. But there's one other critical aspect of praying or living or following God's will in your life. And that is one of the themes of John's book. And it is, we need to make certain we are in the community of other believers who God will use to confirm his specific will. Here's where a lot of people check out. I want to do it. It's within Scripture. I want to marry this guy, this girl. Believer, so I got that covered. That's his general will. I want to be obedient. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. But this last one is, I got to have people in my life who love me deeply and care for me intimately, who will speak honestly and show me my blind spots. When you are your own counselor, you are going to the worst counselor in the world. I can rationalize anything. I sometimes can even rationalize, I think that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. That's why community is so critical. Now, sometimes we don't like what people tell us. But we have to be in a position where we're surrounded by people and we say, God, look, I got blind spots all over the place. And I need you to confirm this in my life, what I'm to do or not to do. And you've given these people who care for me. I know they have my best interest at heart. I know you might have my best interest at heart. So here's the decision I'm trying to make. Will others speak into it? A couple questions here. Right now, if you had a huge decision to make, who would you text and say, meet me this afternoon? I desperately need you to speak into something. Now, that means you've invested some time in their lives and they've invested time in your life. And second question is, will you be willing to listen to them? Because I see that all the time. Four people told me not to do this, but you know what? I'll do it anyway. Because I feel like it's right in my heart. Now, wait a minute. There's this process we work through, right? It's got to be in God's Word. It's got to be in obedience. The Holy Spirit's working for sure. But He also works in the lives of others to confirm it. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you and confirm it in your heart? Yeah. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can do the same thing through the lives of others to confirm that with you? For sure. The confidence we have that God hears us if we pray according to His will, His revealed will, obedience to His will, the Holy Spirit living in us, and in connection with other believers. Now, John says, here's the deal. I need you to be praying for yourself, for sure, but I need you to be praying for other people in this community. It's about intercessory prayer as well, right? We're praying for other people. So John's been telling us that throughout his book. We're going to lift others up. We're going to pray for them. But now he gets specific. He says, I want you to pray for those who are living in sin in a dangerous spot. Look at verse 16. If anyone sees his brother, another believer, committing a sin, now just hold on to that because it gets a little tricky as we work our way through this verse, and there's something we got to deal with to come back to this main point. The main point is praying for a believer living in sin, all right? If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sin that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin. So John's saying there's a sin that leads to death, but don't think that's the only sin. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that leads to death. All right, so what in the world is this sin that leads to death? Well, we don't know for sure. But let me give you three possibilities and then the pros and cons for all three. First one is, there are some who say this is physical death. You're a believer, but you're sinning, and you continue to sin, and God just says, you know what? It'd be better for you to be with me than for you to keep hurting people. Some people hold to that. They go to proof text. They'll go to Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that story? Early church, husband and wife, they sell this piece of property. They come before the church. Ananias comes first, and he says, here's a piece of property. Here's what we got for it. We're giving it all to you. And he was lying. And so, boom, he died. And then right after he took his body out, his wife came in, said the same thing. Boom, she died. And so some people say it's the sin unto death. That's the Ananias and Sapphira sin. People are doing something that's totally against God, and God says, rather have you with me than the damage you're doing. Other people will go to 1 Corinthians 11, and there it says people are taking communion in an unworthy manner. And Paul says, that's why some have fallen asleep. They died. So some people say, you know, that's what he's talking about, the sin unto physical death. Another option would be the unpardonable sin. Jesus talks about the unpardonable sin in Mark chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 12. We always look at the context first, and we see the context there is that Jesus is on earth and the Pharisees are looking on. And he, God, man, through the Holy Spirit, performs this miracle. And remember what the Pharisees said? As they saw this miracle with their own eyes, standing right there, they said, you are not doing this from God. You are demon-possessed. And Jesus said, that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was doing this miracle, and you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by attributing the work of God to Satan, the unpardonable sin. And so people will say, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. Or I think I know someone who's committed the unpardonable sin. Well, just relax. Take a deep breath. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. That sin cannot be duplicated today because Jesus is not on earth. You can't personally see him perform a miracle and then attribute the power of that miracle to Satan instead of the Spirit. We can't do that today. That was for a time and a place when Jesus was on earth. The other option is the only unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus all your life and dying without Jesus. And so some would say that's the sin unto death, spiritual death. A person has finally rejected Jesus and they died, and that's spiritual death, so you don't pray for them. And I'd like to say that's it, but there's one problem with it. This verse started by saying, remember, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, brother is a word John uses for who? Believers. The bottom line is we don't know what the sin unto death is. But we can't use what we don't know about this passage to keep us from doing what we do know about the passage. And what do we know about this passage? We should be praying for believers who are caught in sin. We're not talking about gossip. We're not talking about hearsay. God puts someone in your life and you know they are caught in sin. John says, pray for them. Pray that God would work in their life. Pray that God would give you the courage and the opportunity to go speak into their life. There's a whole process that Jesus gives in Matthew 18 to take someone with you or then go a larger group and then finally maybe even with the elders or the church. Do you know right now of someone living in sin? Tag, you are it. You got to pray for them and you got to pray that God's going to give you the courage to address that issue in their life. That's the messiness, the hard part of community. True believers have confidence in prayer, and true believers have confidence that God is going to protect them. Protect them all the way to eternity. Look at verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. That's been a theme throughout 1 John. If we're a Christian, we're going to sin, but we're just not going to continue in that pattern of sin. How long is that? I don't know. David was in sin for 9 months, but he was convicted and he came back. So we're not putting a time limit on this continuing in sin. It's that a true believer will not continue in sin. So everyone born of God will not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God, Jesus, protects him. The Spirit of our Savior, the Holy Spirit, lives within us, and we are protected. and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Jesus says that Satan is the prince of this world. Paul says he's the god of this age. John says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It hits us from all sides. It hits us all the time. The world opposes everything about God, the God we love, the God we call our Father, the one he calls us his child. But he says, you don't have to worry about that. I will protect you from the evil one. So God will protect those who know him from continuing sin. God will protect those who know him from Satan. And then finally, God will protect those who know him from false teaching. Look at verse 20 and 21. Now remember, John has been writing this letter to address false teaching, the dangers of it. Stay away from it. Know what's true, so you stay away from what's false. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, his Son Jesus Christ. He's the true one. He is the true God, and he's the eternal life. He's the one who gives us eternal life. And then John ends this letter. Paul says, hey, greet everyone there. Tell these people hello. I'm going to come to you soon. John's black and white. Little children, keep yourself from idols. An idol is anything that stands between us and the living God. An idol is probably not some statue in your house or your yard you're bowing down to, but it may be a material possession or a person or a hobby or a career, or some passion of your life. And John says, we don't do that here. If we're those who truly want to follow hard after Jesus, then we are going to keep ourselves from idols. We're going to be regularly checking our heart. God, is there anything in my life that I've allowed to grow up? Any person in my life I've allowed to come between me and you? That's why so many marriages have trouble. Because a wife tries to make a husband God, and the husband tries to make the wife God, and we just do a bad job at being God, don't we? You cannot get from any person what you can only get from the living God.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. But first, a brief look at his motivating book, Ignite. There, Ron leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
1 John 5:13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And here's what I want you to know, that you have eternal life. Because that's the only way you're going to live in freedom. That's the only way you're going to live without fear. That's the only way you're going to be able to follow hard after Jesus Christ. If you understand that come what may, God is committed to you and will always be committed to you. Even when you fail, even when you fall, even when you stumble, God is committed to you.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? Your kind recommendation is greatly appreciated. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.